Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's one of our favorite guests that we've had in here in recent memory. It's 14-year NBA veteran. He now co-hosts the Showtime Basketball podcast that you can also watch on Showtime's new basketball YouTube channel, All the Smoke with Matt Barnes. It is Steven Jackson, who is back in studio with us out of nowhere. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I was so happy to see you. What are you doing, man, here,
I'm glad to be back. You know, hey. We must have really hit it off, because I'm just here casually and I'm on the show, man. So I'm happy to be here, man. I miss you guys. I had a good time last time.
Well, the last time you were in here, you told us Carmelo was going to end up in Portland, and like you knew that it was happening, and it has happened, and he's actually flourished out there the first couple weeks he's been there. And then I watch you come walking into the studio, and I watch Gio turn into some like urbanite guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's my brother.
That's my brother. He knows. We got a connection already.
That's my guy.
That's the kind of effect that you've had on him.
Yes, sir. That's my guy, man.
Yeah. All right, so let's go. Let's start with Carmelo out in Portland. You were right. He's obviously won Western, what, he won the
Player of the Week
and everything else like that. Are you surprised at his initial success here?
I'm not. I knew he was hungry. I even talked to Damian Lillard as soon as the trade happened, and I told Damian Lillard, I was like, in order to get the best out of Melo, you got to take him back to those days where he's catching the ball in the post area, the short post area, and not shooting as many threes. Soon as he got there, that's the first thing they did. The first play against New Orleans was the old Paul Pierce play. You throw it opposite elbow to the big, and the weak side guard dives in the post. That's Paul Pierce play. He made money off that his whole career, and they ran it for Carmelo. He got fouled, but they didn't get a bucket. But if they continue to make him a post presence, he's going to continue to be successful.
Yeah, and it is good to see. I mean, he had a tumultuous time here, whatever, and then, you know, we talked about him with you last time. But I got to be honest with you, like, I was kind of happy for him that he didn't just go there and die like he did. Yeah, right. Like he did with Houston, Oklahoma City, and everything else. So.
Well, they tried. Maybe they misused him, right? And, and Damian Lillard is going to be the guy that's going to be, you know, he's going to feed him.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to tell him where to go.
Yep.
It's Damian's team. There's no question about it. And so good for Carmelo.
The best thing about it was when he first signed with the team, Damian Lillard was still hurt.
Yeah.
So he had a chance to grow with the other guys, and now he's filling Damian Lillard in, now he's starting to roll.
That's going to be good for him. All right, so KG comes out this week and basically takes a couple shots at Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that Kyrie, you know, you got to have cojones to play up in Boston. And this whole reaction from Kyrie to the Boston fans, even though he's not playing and they're actually getting after him, can you explain in some way, shape, or form the psychology of Kyrie Irving and what we're dealing with here?
No.
I
honestly can't. Welcome to my world, Kyrie.
Yeah.
I mean, I got screamed at every arena.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's making more of a big deal than everybody else is. Everybody gets booed, you know, when they go back to the team that they just played for.
Porzingis got hammered here in New York, and like I said, he handled it perfectly.
You got to ignore it, like,
or embrace it,
and play well and shut them up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That's what you can do, but by not playing, by not addressing it, like it looks kind of weird. It looks kind of weird, and it seems like it's getting the best of him.
Yeah, the thing that was insulting to me about what he said was, he made the assumption that every fan in that arena booing him, that was the most important thing in their lives, right? He said, you know, there's more important things in life than a ball going in a hoop. We all know that as sports fans, but like going to the game, that's an escape. This is something that we choose to do and want to do. And to assume that every fan in the stands prioritizes booing Kyrie Irving or basketball over real things in life is like, that was insulting to me.
Yeah, it's sad to hear coming from him, because to me, when I was in the NBA and I would die to be back, it was nothing more important to me than the game. Like, yeah, I know my family's important and all that, but I don't have to come out and say to the fans that the game is not that important. There's other things that are more important. No, the game is important to me, and I want the fans to know that. You know my family is important to me. Common sense. I'm first team all common sense, okay? So I know what's important to me. I don't have to tell everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's making too much of a point to let people know that basketball is not his only love. And you don't have to do that. Basketball is your love. It's changing your life. It's changing your family life.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy. I remember Charles Barkley said last year, he goes, this guy's never happy. Everywhere he goes, he
oh, that is never awesome. Happy. Do that again?
He goes, it never happened, man. He's all pissed off, walking around pissed
oh,
off.
Oh, that is good.
So yes. Now, but is that true? Like, is he never going to be happy, this
well,
guy?
Well, I can say this from knowing him off the court. He's a great kid, a solid kid. I don't know the ups and downs or the mental stuff that he's going through to make him want to take off and all this stuff. I don't know. But I think with the social media today, like, these players let stuff get to them that wouldn't get to us.
Right.
That we wouldn't even see. You know, we wouldn't even pay attention to. And I think that's affecting a lot of these players today is social media.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get into it. The Knicks are 4-17.
Mm-hmm.
They got
blasted. 4-17.
Yeah, they got blasted by
that sounds like an area code.
Seriously, oh, you're not kidding.
Can you just stop for 1 second? Let me ask you this question, all right, Mr. Area Gun? Holy crap. All right, so they're 4-17. They got blasted by the Bucks the other night, 44 mm-hmm. points. And I'm paraphrasing what Coach Fizdale said after the game. Essentially, he said, you know, we didn't think we could win this game before the game even started. That was his take on the players. So the players hear that. You're an ex-player. You've been in an NBA locker room. You're openly talking about, you know, what goes on in these situations. Can Fizdale survive here now?
Well, one thing I like about it, he's holding players accountable. You don't have many coaches that will come out and say that. And I've been in locker rooms where you got guys on your team and you have six guys that's serious that want to play, and you got other guys that's sitting there on their headphones, on their phones, not even thinking they can win. So I understand that, and it's his job to say that. But look at your locker room, bro. Like, you only working with so much, you know what I mean? I think the biggest thing is now is not the time to kick them while they down. I think that was a bad move. I think you try to uplift them through your young players and try to get through that, but telling them that they're not confident, it starts with you. It starts with the coach, because if the team is not confident, then the coach is not a confident coach.
Yeah, now I don't know how much you saw this Milwaukee-Knicks game the other night. It was second leg of a back-to-back. But, I mean, they stood around. They loitered. They looked disinterested. I mean, it was an embarrassment. And you know this city, even though you didn't grow up here. You understand that type of crap is unacceptable here.
Very unacceptable.
And now they're playing another great team in the Denver Nuggets tonight at home. And if there's another effort like that in front of the home fans, which we know like maybe 30% of them are real fans, the rest of them are European tourists and people that are like buying luxury boxes. But like the 30% of real fans that are there, like they're not going to put up with that garbage, man. And like that might cost him his job. And yeah, the roster sucks. We get it. Mm-hmm. But like, I just want to see these guys try.
You know what? And that's why I love Brad Stevens so much. Because even when coaches like that don't have bad teams, they give their players, I mean, when they have their star player, they give everybody else confidence. When Kyrie was out, Boston made it to the East Conference Finals without Kyrie. Because
look what Brooklyn's doing without Kyrie right now.
They're exactly
3 without him.
And the coaches they have are able to give other players confidence to play when your star is not down. And that's what good coaches do. I'm not saying Fizdale is not a good coach, but in order for him to be in that category, he has to win or try to get these guys to play well with a bad team.
Yeah, we have Marcus Morris, right? Portis.
Yeah, Bobby Portis,
Julius Randle.
Taj Gibson.
And Taj Gibson. Those are 4 established veterans.
Yes.
Those are grinders as players.
They're really all the same type of player, though.
But they should have heart. They should have
no question.
An understanding of what an NBA team needs to look like. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's when they were signed, and you know, Gio knew more about them than I did. I was just like, okay, good. All right, we got some hard scrabble guys. Mm-hmm. I can maybe get into this. But they've lost 2 really bad games at home on Sunday nights to the Cavaliers and to the Kings.
Ooh.
Ugly games at home in front of their fans. Mm-hmm. And then this 44-point debacle out there in Milwaukee. I mean, what is it? I know you were here last time and you were telling us it's about the owner, Jim Dolan. It's about the
we can't put it on him no more. Can't put it on him no more.
These are the players that they're paying.
Yeah. These players they're playing and guys that's been, like you said, a lot of these guys have been journeymen, but you have to ask yourself this question too. What guy on this team has won?
Nobody.
Guy has experience winning? So you can't expect the whole team to have a winning attitude when nobody on that team has won. You know, Boomer, you're a Hall of Famer. When you have a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Broadcasting Hall of Famer.
Yeah, broadcasting.
Well, you're a Hall of Fame quarterback too in my mind.
Oh, yes, I love
you. So when you have a guy like you, Tom Brady, when you walk in the locker room, y'all will lead. Guys that don't have confidence or guys that don't really want to play will follow your lead and become. That's what happened to me in San Antonio. I had no idea how to be a professional. I had no idea how to get a role on a team and become a professional on a team. Pop showed me how to be a professional. Show me you play defense, you'll get on the court. Show me how to prepare for games and stuff like that. So when you're around guys like Tim Duncan and David Robinson, it becomes contagious. The winning attitude, the will to win,
so
becomes
it's
contagious.
Here.
It's not here because right. You don't have anybody that's won.
Yeah, did they hire David Fizdale and Scott Perry to come here because they knew everybody in the NBA and they
that's what it
they
seems like.
That's right.
They're good people. Everybody get along with them.
Yeah. So how about this is something I have to ask you. We're talking to the great Steven Jackson, who's got his All the Smoke podcast, Showtime's new basketball YouTube channel with Matt Barnes, and now he's a friend of the show at this point. So Masai Ujiri is the name now, because now the Knicks, it's always the next guy, whether it's the free agent that you don't get, now who's the next guy? The front office guy, you don't get the next guy to coach. Masai Ujiri is done an amazing job with the Raptors.
2 years ago, they was killing him, saying he was about to lose his job.
You're right. Exactly.
2 years ago.
So here is...
Then he traded for Kawhi, and they got a championship. So,
he's the best in the world now.
Right, exactly.
So Steven doesn't have his headphones on. So everybody just turn your mics off in for a second, and then listen to this clip in the studio here of Masai Ujiri. This is the man who Knicks fans want to be the savior. He said this on a television show 2 years ago.
Please clap after this. I hate the Knicks and don't care. Really?
Your face says 1,000 words.
He said that?
Yes. He said, I hate the Knicks. Please clap after this. I hate the Knicks and I don't care. That guy's going to come and save this organization? I mean, come on.
Once that goes viral, I don't think he'll get a job. They're going to boo him. They're going to boo him every time. As soon as he lands in New York, they're going to boo him.
Yeah,
what?
I don't know. I got to tell you, we are so desperate here because it's been so bad for so long that I can understand why everybody would forget that.
Right.
I think he's saying that because he's got to talk to his own fan base.
No question.
Right? And when his own fan base is hearing rumors, this is a couple of years ago,
about
him coming here, he's got to say to his own fan base, I don't want to go anywhere. I hate
the Knicks. Nip it in the bud, right.
Right, got to nip it in the bud just like that, which is what I thought he did. All right, so let me ask you about a couple other things NBA questions-wise. LeBron and Anthony Davis. It's turned out better than anybody thought.
I mean, I knew it was going to do that because I knew it was going to end this way because LeBron, AD is the best player LeBron's ever played with. He's never played with a dominant force inside. Name one big dominant force that he's played with.
Ilgauskas.
Chris Bosh was okay, but he wasn't dominant.
Right.
Anthony Davis could be the best player in the league for the last 4 or 5 years. So if him and Bron can stay healthy, the sky's the limit for them.
All right. I wanted to ask you another thing about the Kevin Garnett comments I thought were very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one thing for us to talk about, another thing for you to talk about. He talked about the racism talk that happens in Boston, how that's something that he had heard, and then when he got there, he didn't really experience it because he played hard and they accepted him. You know, is that a thing that NBA players like feel is an issue up there, like that their fans could be potentially be racist?
I never had that problem in Boston. I love Boston.
Yeah.
I've always had good experience in Boston. The only place that I've dealt with that a lot was Utah. I dealt with it a lot in Utah. I mean, I could tell y'all a story when the playoffs – it was a guy under the basketball goal. He had a life-size cutout of me in a jail uniform, like right under the goal. I have a picture of it, and because I had gotten a shootout the year before in Indiana.
Oh,
got hit by a car.
A legitimate
knocked all my teeth out. Yeah, knocked all my teeth out. I got right up and aired it
nice
out.
Nice teeth.
I'll
now,
tell
though.
Y'all a story. Thanks. Yeah. I paid for it. Trust me.
Okay.
But what was I talking about?
Utah, racism.
Utah, but yeah. And the guy had a life-size cutout under the goal in the jail uniform. I went and signed it after the game and made fun of it. But we heard racial slurs the whole time in Utah.
Wow.
N-word racial slurs?
N-word, yes. N-word, and your mom's a black, stuff like that, all kinds of stuff like that. But I wouldn't say it's Utah. It's just a few people that be at those games that do that. And we've heard a lot. You've seen Russ has went through it last year. A couple guys have went through it. But I think Utah is the only place we go to that. I can't say. I love Boston.
That went after Russ got banned anyway. The NBA is going to be very sensitive to all that stuff. I was thinking like Bill Russell is one of the most celebrated basketball players in the history of the game, and he played for Boston.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't hear players saying they don't want to go play in Boston.
That's my first time ever hearing that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm to be honest, I've never heard anything from any player about anything racist in Boston. I've never have. The only thing I heard about was when Paul Pierce got stabbed, but that was with a rapper.
You know what I mean?
So I've never heard anything about Boston.
Wouldn't you say like the Lakers and the Celtics are the two teams that are most synonymous with winning in the NBA in NBA history?
Sure. No question.
Of course.
No, yeah. By far.
I mean, it's not even close.
By far.
We talk about MSG being a mecca of basketball.
It's the best place to play.
Yeah.
For the visiting team.
Yeah, for the exactly. For the visiting team. But I love Madison Square Garden. I think it's like you said, it's the best place to play. But if any player in NBA history could play in L.A. or Boston, or even with the Knicks, you know, I think they would love to because that's the biggest place to play.
That's one thing that KG did say. He said, man, if one guy decides to come to the Knicks and turn this whole thing around,
yeah,
he's going to be God.
He'll be the biggest story in sports.
Yes, he will.
In his eyes.
Yeah, basically. He said, and the city's been waiting for it. The franchise has been waiting for it. It just someone's got to have the balls to do it.
Who could it be?
I don't know. You tell me.
I
just think everybody's locked in right now.
I got to ask you, last time we had you on, and I was so mad that we didn't ask you about the Malice at the Palace.
Mm-hmm. So we did a little bit.
A little bit, but not like because it was like the anniversary of it.
Right around that time it was.
Yes, exactly. It was. I mean, so we went back and looked at it. I'm like, damn, he was like right in the middle of everything.
And we go outside
you
to a bar and somebody say something to you, it's going to be the same. All the way. All over again. I got your back.
That's what I'm talking about. I got your back at all times.
That'd
be 100%.
I got your back at all times.
That's the way it's got to be.
That was crazy.
How's the podcast going?
It's going good, man. It's just been a blessing. Shout out to Showtime, man. A lot of people has been giving us a lot of props on our podcast and the guests we've been having. And I'm enjoying it, man. I think this is a lane for me and Matt, something we want to do. And to give the real about the sport of basketball and about other things that athletes deal with. And we've been through everything, from baby mama drama to jail to everything. So it's not a subject we can't talk about.
Yeah. What do you think about this stupid midseason tournament that Adam Silver's throwing out there? Is that a good idea?
It's just too much. It's just too much going on. Half these guys don't even care about regular season, so you want to add more basketball? Guys are trying to stop playing basketball. They're trying to the load management. What is this? What is load management?
I don't know, man.
You know what I mean?
You tell me.
Load management?
I know you're talking to the right guys, man. Listen.
Load management.
It worked out. Hey, it did work out for Kawhi last year, didn't it?
It worked out for him because he's really hurt.
Yeah, right.
Like he's really hurt. Like I don't know if people know that. Like I'm real cool with Lou Williams. Kawhi is really hurt. He actually needs time off to finish the whole season. He's probably the only guy that I know that. Maybe LeBron because he's played so many minutes, but I've never heard of load management.
Well, LeBron plays all the time, though. I mean, the guy's playing full seasons now. I mean, last year he got hurt, but
load management.
What do you see from Luka Doncic?
I love him, man. Woo!
I know the numbers. I see the numbers.
It's just that the confidence. He ain't scared. You know what I mean? Most guys come from another country, play. They're scared. He's not scared. He came here like I'm the guy. Y'all gonna be behind me now. I belong here. I've been playing professional since I was a kid. This is nothing new to me. And he understands it's just the game. He understands it's just the game. And he's great, man.
He said that it was harder to score in the European leagues than it is in the NBA.
Because the game here, the NBA, is more space. Everybody, like you have five players on the court. Everybody has to, you have to pay attention to everyone. So the court is wide open. Mm-hmm. Overseas, you got one or two guys that can score. Everybody else is bums. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else is bums. In the NBA, you got to pay attention there. But then hold up. I take that back. Some bums in the NBA, too.
Yes.
There's at least 50 bums.
Yeah.
I'll write their names down later.
Yeah, four or five players
too,
Steven, we love hanging out with
Thanks
you.
For
Thanks
having
again.
Me, my guys.
This is a pleasant surprise. All the best with the podcast. We'll be watching Thanks. All the smoke with you and Matt Barnes every week.
Thanks. Appreciate it, man.
All right, Steven Jackson. You, all right.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.